It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. It was very funny in the break. Intern Nick came in and said, Boomer, do you need me to do your homework for you? Because we were just talking about this quarter century team thing that the digital folks would like us to complete. I completed it this morning after much badgering by the staff. And Boomer, did you complete yours? Are you almost done?
No, not yet.
You're not done yet?
No, because I got to put a lot of thought into it.
Oh, stop. My ass, you do.
They say try to stay away from being a fanboy and try to be an objective.
And you're trying to keep it to 2000 to 2025. I was filling it out. I put a lot of guys, and they realized, oh, well, the majority of his career came in the 90s.
Yeah, true. But and, like, most of the wins came in the 90s, and the championships came in the 90s.
Yeah, I was.
I put a lot of 94 Rangers on the list at first, and then realized, oh, that championship team does not count.
Yeah, but still, when you see Messi on the list, how do you not click Messi?
That's
the problem. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was totally fanboy. I mean, I clicked Edgardo Alfonso, for God's sakes. I had to. It's my favorite Met ever. Love the guy. John Franco, I had to put John Franco. He actually, I think, deserved it, but I had to put John Franco.
I mean, Eli Manning has to be the quarterback.
Well, yeah, obviously. You look at some of these guys, though. I mean, like, some of these positions, just god-awful what we've had there.
Yeah, like, well, especially basketball.
Well, basketball, some really bad ones. Like, I mean, God. I think I picked Pablo Prigioni at one of the positions. So bad it was.
So the selection for tight ends, Jeremy Shockey, Dustin Keller, Kevin Boss, Anthony Becht, and Tyler Conklin.
Ugh. I picked Boss because of the Super Bowl. Right, he was on which one? Was he on both or just one?
First one, I believe.
First one, yeah.
You got to pick two.
Yeah, I know. I picked him, and I forget who else. I guess
Did
I Shockey.
Pick Anthony Becht?
No, I think I took Shockey. I think. I don't know. God's sakes, man. You know?
Yeah.
Who are you picking?
I'm not telling you.
But why not? You're asking me who I picked. I'm telling you. What's the secret?
I don't even know what the secret is. I'm trying to think. Like Kevin Boss deserves to be it because he was on the Super Bowl team.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Shockey was like a tremendous athlete and a tremendous player, but a lunatic.
Yeah.
I think Dustin Keller and Anthony Becht were really just solid players.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Shockey to me, it's like, you know, he was so talented. He's got to be on that team. You're picking Shockey. You know, gives you some juice, some entertainment, a lot of talent.
I don't know. Whatever. Incomplete grade.
You're just going to stop? It expires like in 2 minutes if you don't finish it.
Oh, it does?
No, I just made that sucks. Up. I just made that. I thought it sounded good though.
Did you put Plaxico on there?
No.
Amani Toomer?
Yeah.
Did you put Wayne Corbett on there?
No.
You put Garrett Wilson on there?
No. I put
Victor Cruz?
Yeah. I picked Victor Cruz.
So you picked Victor Cruz, Amani Toomer?
Yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr.?
I think so, yeah. I think I picked all Giants. Or maybe I didn't pick Victor Cruz. It was Odell, Amani, and...
There's two more.
I don't remember.
Garrett Wilson?
I definitely didn't put Garrett Wilson in.
Plaxico Burress?
I don't remember.
Wayne Corbett?
I have no idea.
Steve Smith? David Tyree? Hakeem Nicks?
No.
Lavernius Coles?
Jericho Cotchery's on there. I love Jericho.
Ike Hilliard?
I used to do a great Jericho Cotchery impersonation.
Yes.
And I remember there was a day I was out. And he was the weekly call-in, right? So this is what I used to do on my vacation when I was like the midday producer. So I called up like a couple minutes before Jericho was supposed to call the hotline and then asked to talk to Dove because I was pissed off as Jericho Cotchery. And I had this whole conversation yelling at Dove as Jericho Cotchery. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. So stupid. But I like Jericho. He's a good guy. Very boring, but good guy.
Well,
didn't say anything.
I remember most of those call-in shows are boring.
Yeah, terrible. Really bad.
Unless I was sparring with Mike and Chris on Fridays.
Yeah, that was good. Antrell Roll had a good, he had a good spot here for a while.
He's one of the options at safety, and I remember thinking he's probably the last good athlete call-in that we consistently had.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you really didn't get much out of the managers, the baseball managers, when we did that. Yeah, Roll was good. He was he gave you a lot of stuff. I mean, we had some doozies on that midday show. I think I mentioned this not that long ago. We had Brian Schneider, the catcher.
Catcher for the Mets. We had Thomas Jones.
Yeah.
Running back for the
I can't believe you guys Jets. Did that back in the day.
Well, that was early on. It was sports talk. They, you know, Mark was trying to get the whole station to become all sports.
No, put on the running back. Shut up. No. Stop talking about ass cheeks. Talk about football.
Yeah. But with Brian Schneider, I think I've told this story, but I had to call him on the road, and they gave him an alias, and it was Brian Christmas. And I was like, I remember saying to Jay Horowitz, I was like, you really need to give Brian Schneider an alias? Like, how many people are bugging this guy? He's like the 29th catcher ranked in the league. Guy stinks.
I remember when he was with the Nationals. He was actually pretty decent with the Nationals.
Yeah, he was okay. He was terrible with the Mets.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely awful. Yeah. Jericho Cotchery, Brian Schneider. Those are the two ones that I remember. I had to pick up those phone calls every day. Or every week.
Right.
Who was the last one we had? What did they did something last? Oh, Jonathan. No, Casillas is now retired. Who was the guy they had last year on BT and Sal? They had a giant last year.
Didn't they get into it with Carl Banks?
No, but that's different.
Okay.
I'm talking about a current player. They had a current player on.
You know how hard it is to do it when your team's losing?
I'm sure.
It's impossible.
To get paid to just...
I know, but it's impossible to fight off all the criticism.
Yeah, but you know how to do it these days. You just dodge the questions. Everybody just dodges. Well, you know, just got to be better. You know, just didn't get it done. You know, everybody's frustrated. Everybody's disappointed.
Let's go to Bobby in Congress. Bobby, what's happening?
What's up, fellas? How are you?
All right.
So yesterday you were talking about Evan,
yeah,
saying, you know, how big, you know, his, you know, some of his third leg might be.
Yeah, which is shocking, but yes, I've heard this.
So I think we should do a little comparison, you know, get the softball team together, put Boomer in a pair of softball pants, and put Evan and see which bat is bigger.
Yeah, I would still put my money on Boomer. I think that proportionally, you know, Evan, it may look bigger because he's a smaller guy. But
he's huge. See, but that's the thing. He's smaller.
Yeah, that's so like.
Yeah, so it could be like a, it could be like a mirage.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, with 8 inches.
Did you ever play that drop last week that Evan won that I sent you and then Rami sent you? That I was like, this is unbelievable. Did that somehow work its way onto the air?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay. Man, I think you just need to hear it. Like, I know that Eddie likes to put it in a place, like, but this was unbelievable.
I'm glad I blew the that old guy.
Ah, poor Evan. Jesus. Well, by the way, when does he get back from his vacation?
I don't. He's on vacation?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You didn't know that?
No. Why would I know that? I think I'm making a schedule?
I thought we were talking about this yesterday, about how he was doing his Rico Braun.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Good call. My bad. He was out there in France, in Paris, doing his Rico Braun.
Right.
I'm glad I blew the that old guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's one hell of a vacation for him overseas. You never know what's going to happen once you cross the Atlantic. Things change. Yeah, so I know BT's on vacation.
Right.
And Evan's still out there on vacation. And we were on vacation last week.
Yes.
Did I see Dave Sims say something about you being on vacation? Somebody was telling me Dave Sims was saying something.
No, he just was asked about my comments about him taking that Sacramento weekend
off to go
to Seattle. You remember that whole conversation we had?
So I hope King Boomer is okay with that.
Yeah.
You jackass. Hey now.
So, yeah. So, you remember we spoke the next that day.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, and I answered the phone saying, you know, this is Boomer's travel agency. I'm going to help you, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right, of course.
How's vacation going? And, you know, we laughed about it and everything. And then he told me he had a very personal reason as to why he needed to do what he did.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I said, cool. I said, I was just, you know, 40 days in. I thought, you know, it's a little early to take a couple, you know, take a weekend off. But when I realized that he had some sort of personal thing to do.
Yeah.
That it was, you know, I said, fine. Hey, just know that we listen to you every day and we'll play your highlights every day. And ultimately, you're going to find your way in our conversation every day.
Of course.
And he understood all of that. It was great. So I guess he gave some sort of, or somebody asked him about my commentary. And he did some yada, yada, yada thing.
Oh, did yada, he yada, yada, yada?
Yada, 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 yada. Yeah, something.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, I thought we had a conversation, but I guess he's uber sensitive over the whole thing.
Damn.
So.
I can't believe he yada, yada, yada'd you. That's disrespectful.
Well, he was telling the story about what he was doing, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, but that's directed towards you, yada, yada.
Well, I don't know if it's directed towards me or not. 100%.
Yada, yada's like, oh, yeah, he's, you know, there's Boomer, yada, yada, yada. You know what I'm saying?
He was talking about his son, and then he said yada, 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 I think. I don't know.
That's a weird place to put yada, if you're asking me.
Yeah, I don't know. But he was the one who basically said he blew off the Sacramento A's.
He
did say that.
Of course.
And that people in his business do take vacations. It's just that the guy that I replaced never took a vacation.
Yeah, of course.
That was the impetus behind it.
Well, but there's people like when this was going on and even recently that are like, oh, you know, Boomer took vacation in the summer. Mm-hmm. It's not apples to apples. Like, yes, we get vacation days. This was 40 games in. It was his first year doing the Yankees broadcast, and they get like. Potentially October if they don't make the playoffs, but then November, December, January, and then most of February completely off.
Yeah.
Before they're back. So, I mean, it's a little bit different.
Plus, he was replacing a legend who never took off.
Yeah.
Until the later years, until he got into his 80s.
So that's why that
was the discussion point.
I got to look at this yada now and see if this is a, disrespectful yada, 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 or just like a, you know, casual yada, yada, yada.
No, somebody asked him, and he responded, and I thought it was put to bed, but I guess not.
No, he wants to keep it alive, huh?
I guess so.
Jermaine Illuminor was the giant that did a weekly spot with BT and Sal.
Okay.
Big one.
Yeah, big one. He ended up starting for him.
Drew in Woodbury. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, guys. I was just calling in because I was listening to the Yankee game last week on the radio, and Emmanuel Babari and Ricky Ricardo did an absolutely fantastic job together. It was the best broadcast I heard in years. They should be there all the time. It was wonderful.
Wow. That is really, I mean, that is high praise, huh?
You can sit on my face.
Yes.
Hmm. Let's see. Dave... I see this whole thing. Why'd you miss this game, the Mariners? And he said he had to go somewhere else. I don't see yada. I'm looking for yada. And by the way, once again, shout out to Emmanuel Babari for he sat on that one.
Yes, he's playing into it.
I mean, did he delete yada, yada, yada? Because I don't see it. I'm all the way back to June 23rd.
No. I think this came out either yesterday or the day before, I think. Maybe it was awful announcing?
Yeah, but he did. I mean, did he talk to awful announcing?
Yeah, that's what I think, yeah.
I'm looking at his tweets. It was on the awful announcing podcast. So he said yada, yada, yada.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's not going to be like a transcription of this. Oh, here we go. Dave Sims responds. Here it is. You got to alert me to these things a little bit sooner, Boomer, you know?
Oh, I just got alerted last night.
Dave Sims responds to Boomer Esiason's criticism over time off from Yankees radio, Boomer.
Penis! I also saw where... I also saw where Craig Carton could be reportedly headed back to WFAN.
Oh, yeah. On the table.
Right.
Saw that.
That show got canceled again?
I think it got canceled once before.
Well, it was the Craig Carton show. That got canceled. Then it came back as something else, a new iteration.
Yeah, the Breakfast Bowl with another guy, I know, Danny Parkins and Schlereth.
Yeah, so I guess that got canceled.
So, quote, Dave Sims, it's not like I took time off Labor Day in the middle of a pennant race.
So, okay.
Let's see. I'm sorry, I love Dave Sims, but unless there's something major going on I don't know about, what are you doing?
I said, what, right?
Yeah, that was you.
There's something major going on. What are you doing? Why are you taking off so early?
Here we go. People in our business, this is Dave Sims.
Okay.
Quote, people in our business, in this line of business, take time off. I have a son in Seattle, and the three games I blew off were in, I blew off. He said, he did say that.
Yeah.
Three games I blew off were in Sacramento. If you look at the schedules of just about every broadcaster in the major leagues, they take time off. It's not like I took time off Labor Day in the middle of a pennant race. It was May, almost middle of May, and I wanted to see my son. It was the only time we were going to be going out west, and we had some things to take him to, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so that wasn't a yada to you. That was just a, like, we had to do this stuff. I'm not going to give you the details, yada. I thought he was doing like a Boomer said, yada, 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 but he didn't do that.
No, no.
We had to take him to yada, 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 and I wasn't going to make my wife do that. Oh, you have the full audio? You're probably just going to hear what I just read, but maybe there's more to it. So there you go.
If you look at the schedules of just about every broadcaster in the major leagues, they take time off. And it's not like I took time off Labor Day in the middle of a pennant race. It was May, middle May, almost middle May. And I wanted to see my son, and it was the only time we were going to be going out west. And we had some things we had to, you know, take to him, yada, yada, yada. And I was going to make my wife do that. Radio station said, fine, you got X amount of days off. Those are some of the days you want to take off. Hey, you're good. We got you covered. Don't worry about it. Safe travels.
There you go. That's what he said. Still talking about it. He did get asked about it.
Yeah.
It's not like he brought it up on his own. He got asked about it.
But like I said, when I said what I said, the precursor was, unless there's something major going on that I don't know about,
mm-hmm.
meaning a family issue.
Right.
Which then now he's opened up and said, yes, we had a family issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada.
Right. Okay. No, I mean, it's covered. You don't have to explain yourself to me.
But the point being is that the guy that he replaced never took off.
Mm.
That's the point.
Part of the point. Yeah. And also, it's like you just started type of thing, you know?
Right.
There was that.
And you're replacing a guy who never took off, man. And he was, it's almost impossible to replace that guy.
Yeah. Well, we know. Yeah.
Yeah. And we said that it was going to be tough.
Indeed. So you think it's tough? You think it's still tough? You think he's doing a good job?
I don't really hear them that much.
Oh, okay.
Yada, yada, yada. Hope you enjoyed taking off all of July, Boomer, you meathead. Hey, now, Superman was terrible. Suck it, Boomer.
Wow, Dave. Wow, man. You gotta tell you what, he is on the ball.
Unbelievable.
A little assist from Izzo.
Of yes, course, we are. Good job, Tom. But, by the way, that is not the real Dave Sims. That is AI Dave Sims. And anything that says AI Dave Sims says we cannot be emotionally or physically or legally responsible for anything. So don't sue us.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So we were talking about those dogs, you know, in NFL security and get the wizards. It's like Malinois, whatever they call it. So yes. I saw
Elton
a guy,
Shepherd,
the guy who played for the Portland team yesterday, came up and was listening. And he goes, he said, I had one of those dogs and I actually had to give him to like the Air Force because I couldn't handle him. And I, you know, they could train him to do whatever they needed to do, wherever it was. I said the Air Force. It was some sort of like official place. He goes, that dog was not for me as a pet. He goes, my name in the neighborhood was the guy with that dog because it was just, you know,
they're very aggressive.
Yeah, bred to do
athletic,
things,
athletic, aggressive. But they know, but they love their owners.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
You have, but they require a ton of attention and energy.
Yeah, but he was like, "Tell Boomer, he's spot on with those dogs, man. They are insane and like and can do things that a lot of breeds can't do." So, but yeah, I got a lot of that yesterday. A lot of people coming up, man. Your description of what happened to you on the beach, it's every Long Island boater was laughing at that.
Well, when did they start talking to you about Superman today? God.
I'm tapped out with Superman now. I feel like, I mean, it's 2 hours and 9 minutes, the movie. We talked about it for 3 hours and 10 minutes, I think. I think I know the whole script at this point. I know the Green Lantern. I know the Superdog. I know Drunk Supergirl. Fleeks told me the ending. I know everything. I don't need to see this thing. I already know it. All right, Jerry, what's going on?
We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Garrett Wilson, the story this morning is 4-year extension with the Jets. We've discussed that all morning long. I played a couple of... There's got to be something in the water. It's got to be the time of night. The overnight. Seems to just get to guys... And, you know, maybe they learned from the best, and that was back in the day with Sal.
It's different, you dope! What don't you get, you knucklehead?
Okay, so you had that, and he's also done...
You're a moron! Get lost, you moron!
Okay, so then, you know, then this week you had C-Mac, who was mocking callers that are clamoring for George Steinbrenner to be back and running the Yankees.
If only George were here, George! Where are you, George? We miss George. Heads would roll.
You sound like they're losing their minds. All sorts of weird noises.
Oh, George. Oh, please. I can't take it anymore with these Yankees.
So that's Sal to C-Mac, and then you had Gallo this morning yelling at a caller who questioned the Jets developing players.
Garrett Wilson was drafted by them.
Mike,
shut up, Mike. Please, shut up.
It's definitely those hours. And I don't know what it is. Like, there are some great overnight callers that sound like normal human beings.
Yes.
But there are some people that just call up and just want to argue and are just like, then they must, that might be like the only time that they have in the day to argue. Maybe they're just going to work or something. But I mean, there are some callers that are just, and also everybody gets through in the overnight. That's the other thing.
That's true.
Because Fleegs is not turning anybody down because you need callers, right? You need
callers. I think C-Mac would kill me if I turned people away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know. Yeah.
It's tough.
There's a couple of guys I haven't heard from in a long time, though. Butch in South Yonkers.
Yeah.
And
these used to be called Sal and C-Mac, you're saying?
Yeah, I haven't heard. Well, Sal especially, Butch. And then there's the other guy who would always start his phone call with, yeah.
Oh, Dwight Nasberry Park.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dwight was great because when you screened his call, anybody who works behind the scenes here will know this, you would answer the phone, and even when the host did it most of the time, he would act caught off guard, like he didn't realize, even though he's the one who made the call. Because it would be the, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't heard from him or Butch in a while. Those two guys.
Well, we hope they're okay.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so maybe it's the lack of sleep for these guys in the middle of the night. We certainly know about that. Cal Raleigh wins the home run derby in Atlanta. Okay, great. We've got the All-Star game now tonight. So I'm confused. Judge said he had a conversation with Rob Manfred about wearing their own uniforms. Are they wearing their own? So
yeah.
Right. That's cool. Because I thought what I saw last night was what they were wearing, but apparently not. They're wearing their own uniforms.
Just for the home run hitting contest.
Very cool. Here was Francisco Lindor. He was asked for his expectations of the game coming up later tonight.
Number one, we're going to have fun. Number two, we're going to win.
That's it. Win and have fun. Here was Jacob deGrom, now a Rangers starting pitcher, as we know, and dominating again. Nice to see old teammates.
You make a lot of friends in this game. Keep in touch with some of those guys still. So seeing them, saying hello, and I'm happy what they've been able to do this year.
And one of those teammates is Pete Alonso. Played this a couple of hours ago. He was asked by John Heyman about maybe being a free agent again at the end of the season.
The free agency stuff, like, I'm not really worried about that right now. I'm sure at the end of the year, like, I'll have plenty of time to think about that. But yeah, right now I just want to be healthy and help my team contribute and do the best I can to help win.
What's sorry, so funny? No.
Nothing. I don't even want to say
the Google searches. Got it.
No. It's just
the conversation we're having in the break, and I just seeing Boomer scrolling the pictures that I'm seeing up there. It's just the whole thing just made me laugh. Yes.
I got you. Rob Manfred was with McAfee. I'm only playing this because this has been a talking point in a lot of places, not the ball strike thing. But he actually acknowledged that if you want to watch baseball these days, way too many outlets.
And we are too many places right now. We've experimented. Apple's been a great experiment, but we do have a lot of fragmentation. We need to get into a more streamlined model where a fan knows Friday, I want to see my game tonight. Either they go to a digital service, they know the game's there. If it's not there, it's going to be one of a couple of the national games, and it's easy for the fan.
And it is anything but easy right now.
Yeah, I mean,
at least they know.
They're on Roku and Tubi and Apple, as he says.
And Apple.
Amazon, Apple.
Hey, the easiest way to do it is get the MLB app, and that's the easiest way.
Well, unless you, I mean, you get blacked out, though.
Yeah. Like, if I have, so I have, I pay for MLB.TV.
Yes.
But I can't get the Met games or the Yankee games in this area. I can get everything else, right?
Yep.
They haven't changed that, have they?
Nope.
So, these are weird stories that I came across this morning. Mm. They're not good either. Former MLB pitcher, I think, for the Twins. Remember Dan Serafini? Remember that name?
Didn't he shoot his father-in-law?
Yes.
What? I mean, not to laugh at that, but
he was the way he said, he was convicted Monday of first-degree murder of his father-in-law.
He killed a guy?
An attempted murder. And this gets worse.
His mother-in-law.
Attempted murder of his mother-in-law over a financial dispute. The case including a second defendant. Her name is Samantha. She is described, as per ABC 10, as a close friend of Serafini's wife and his lover.
Oh, my God.
That's a bad story.
That's a real bad story.
That's one. Another one not great. LiAngelo Ball's exes were found feuding in public on Sunday. Mm. In a note posted on her Instagram story, Rashida, who is expecting her first child with Ball, appeared to respond after Ball's ex, Nikki, went on the Jason Lee show and claimed Ball ended things with her via text and had gotten another woman pregnant.
Oh, geez. Like we told you yesterday, don't lick your balls.
Oh, and then another bad story.
Oh, Jesus, Jerry.
Well, I just saw them. They're all sports related.
God, dang it.
It's called boom scrolling, not doom scrolling. No, boom scrolling. And then the last one is Fahuja Singh, an Indian-born runner nicknamed the Turbaned Torpedo, was believed to be the world's oldest marathon runner. He was 114. Poor guy died getting hit by a car.
No.
I swear to God.
Well, it was enough for him.
You make it to one. It didn't say that he was running. His last marathon was when he was 100.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he was still running or jogging or if he was walking and he got hit by a car, hit and run driver.
And the guy didn't even stop. Ran over 114-year-old, didn't even stop.
I think so, yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Sounds like some of what happened in Bell Parkway these days.
There was somebody standing in the middle of traffic today in Kenmore.
Oh, she's there all the time.
Oh, that's her, yeah.
Yeah, she's there all the time. I see her every day.
I mean, whatever.
Right in the middle of traffic. Now,
whatever she's on, she looks like she's having a great time.
Oh, boy.
Somebody needs really to help her. So somebody needs to go and help that person.
It ain't going
to
be me.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying. Like, and then all of her clothes are lined up there off of the Williamsburg Bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
not tough spot.
It's sad.
It's a tough spot.
She's got to have a family somewhere.
And then there's Scotty Scheffler.
Okay.
This guy is going deep. All right.
Yeah, here you know, it's funny. I did not hear this audio, but I saw a headline. It says Scotty Scheffler goes deep. Okay. So you're saying the same thing.
I am saying the same thing, and I think you'll appreciate this. The cuts are a little bit long. He talks about winning the Byron Nelson, which was near and dear to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the Open Championship yesterday.
It feels like you work your whole life to celebrate winning a tournament for like a few minutes. It only lasts a few minutes, that kind of euphoric feeling. And I like to win the Byron Nelson Championship at home. I literally worked my entire life to become good at golf, to have an opportunity to win that tournament. And you win it, you celebrate, get to hug my family, my sister's there. It's such an amazing moment. And then it's like, okay, now what are we going to eat for dinner?
Okay.
Well, now we got to remember that the check is going to hit the bank account the next morning.
He says, nice to win, but
literally worked my entire life to become good at the sport and to have that kind of sense of accomplishment, I think is is a pretty cool feeling. You know, to get to live out your dreams is very special. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not out here to inspire the next generation of golfers. I'm not here to inspire somebody else to be the best player in the world, because what's the point? You know, this is not a fulfilling life.
Hmm. It's not a fulfilling life, really?
What? Yeah, he continued on that theme here.
It's fulfilling from the sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of, like, the deepest, you know, places of your heart. You know, there's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life, and then you get there, and all of a sudden, you get to number one in the world, and then they're like, what's the point?
Hmm.
And then, so he's, like, basically saying, like, for me to only care about the Portly Villager Save-On Ryder Cup is, like, the only thing in my life that matters is probably wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. Well, is that what he's saying?
I think he's having the conversation within himself that you have brought up, that Al has brought up. Like, what is the point of all this?
But he's, you know, he's very religious.
I think this
has something to do with that, because, you know, he's guys who are as religious as him, they'll say they're living their life for God. Like, right. They're doing. So I do think that has a lot of there's a lot of inspiration from that to these comments.
The last one, his inner battle.
I really do believe that, because, you know, what is the point? You're like, why do I want to win this tournament so bad? That's something that I wrestle with on a daily basis. It's like showing up at the Masters every year. It's like, why do I want to win this golf tournament so badly? Why do I want to win the Open Championship so badly? I don't know. Because if I win, it's going to be awesome for about 2 minutes.
Wow. It's a legacy, man. It you add to your legacy, you become maybe one of the greatest, if not the greatest golfer of all time. I mean, he definitely has an opportunity to do something like that.
And that money lasts a lot longer than 2 minutes.
Well, yeah. I mean, he made $64 million last year on the tour, and that doesn't count any endorsements or any appearances or any of that stuff. This year, he's probably on pace to do something very similar. I mean, that's the money part of it, but the championships are the legacy of the sport. And to become the greatest of your generation, I think that would be what I would point to as something that should be satisfying and fulfilling.
You would think. So,
yeah, that's a strange one, because generally he doesn't say things like that. You know, he just loves going out and playing golf and trying to be the best and all that stuff. I mean, this is twice now the two top stars in the game have said things bizarre.
Yep.
I mean, Rory basically saying that his motivation was gone for a while after winning the Masters. And now Scotty basically like, why do I care so much about winning?
I think I think you get to a level where you set out the highest goal for yourself. In these guys' cases, the Masters, and for him, he's talking about the Byron Nelson. And then it's like, all right, now what? Like, wow, I made it. Now what?
Yeah, but of course.
And then you add your name to the record books, the history books, whatever you want to call it.
You capitalize on the prime of your career. And then also, like, the celebration for 2 minutes, it might be 2 minutes in a moment. But when he's 65 years old, he's going to be thinking about all that stuff and being like, that was so cool.
Yeah. The other thing, too, all the kids that look up to him and the platform that he has and the amount of people that he can affect and inspire to become great golfers themselves so they can go on and live good lives. I mean, look what I did to Hoodie Allen when he was.
I can't. I'm disappointed in Hoodie that he's not up.
I took a nice picture with him.
Yeah.
Now look at what he's doing.
Exactly.
Hoodie Allen.
You never know when you're going to be able to touch somebody, Jerry.
You never know. Touch me, yes. All right, time now for moment of the day. Well, that's the boomer thing. Touch me.
Yeah, I know.
So this is really, and this was a lot of the show this morning, the whole Superman thing. This is how the debate began, for the most part, when I played the back and forth, the Stu Finer versus Mike Francesa differing opinions.
This movie might be the best superhero, super fiction, action movie ever.
This movie is so bad that if you asked me to go sit through it again, I would want major, major cash before I could do it, okay? It was pure torture.
We go back to Stu as he was doing his review.
I loved it. The acting was absolutely unbelievable. Soup to nuts, villains, heroes, special effects, has it all. I'm going to see it every single day of my next 4-day vacation.
I was thinking about inflicting pain to myself just to keep myself awake. That's how bad it was. This movie was dreadful.
I got one more from Stu as he continues to rave about it.
It was an 11. It was phenomenal. The best thing I've ever seen in my life.
There's a super dog. Who came up with a super dog? I mean, we all like dogs, okay? And I didn't like the dog getting beat on in the movie. It bothered me. But hey, who came up with a dog with a cape? When did that arrive? I watched Superman for years on television. I never saw a dog with a cape.
Oh, that is so good. I mean, that's not even, like, that's just a parody of himself at that point. Because we all love dogs, okay? Dog with a cape. I mean, where do you get this?
There you go. Moment of the day. Enjoy watching the movie.
Very good, Jerry.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Man, did you see some of these floods in the subways yesterday?
Crazy. You know, we had some rain by me last night, but nothing like New Jersey and the city got. And the flooding, yeah, there's no other way to put it, but just the water coming from everywhere, underground.
I mean, there are people sitting on the one train, and it looked like there was 3 feet of water outside the train. I don't know how did it not get into the cars?
Probably because I guess it was flowing down, because there is a gap in between. Maybe the water goes down there before it gets into the cars.
That looked like a lot of water, man.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of water. Yeah, I mean, you saw what happened, obviously, in Texas, some of the flooding that happens. You know, the only time I have ever been late to any morning show I've ever done since 2010 was a day that there were floods because of a torrential downpour that was essentially unexpected to be that bad. And every road was completely flooded. I ended up going through a puddle I should have never gone through. And then the car is steaming, and I was like, I got to get to work, you know? And I came in here at 6:03. It sucked because I had such a streak going. But, yeah, I mean, it is crippling when it happens.
Yeah,
absolutely
with
crippling.
The floods down in Texas, it reminded me of, like, Hurricane Sandy here.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget in 2020, I think it was August of 2020, when we were still doing remote shows.
Yeah.
And I went back to Plandome to do our remote show back there. And we had a storm, I think it was called Isaiah, came down where our house is and everything, and just absolutely was wiping out, you know, 150-year-old oak trees out of the ground.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, so we lost electricity and everything else, and that Sunday went back, and there was a flood in the house, and there's nothing worse than a flood in the house. Mm. Then you got to call ServPro, and I remember showing you the video of this guy.
Yeah, he was great.
This guy was amazing. Came in and started punching out the ceiling to get all the water out of the ceiling and all the drywall.
Yeah, they love doing that, punching the ceiling themselves.
And he was doing it with his own hand, his own fist. That guy was an animal.
Yeah, my neighbor did that.
Might have been like a nose tackle at Brentwood Sonderling back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, if you got the strength to punch through walls, you punch through walls. That's what you do. You don't get any sort of equipment. You don't cut it open. You just punch it.
Well, the great thing about ServPro is that they don't mess around.
No.
They come right in and they get it all out.
My basement in Bellport needed ServPro to come in there. Bing, bang, boom. Great job. Yeah, but hopefully we don't have another one of those massive things. You know, hurricane season's from now all the way through October. So long way to go, you know?
Yeah.
Long, long way to go.
By the way, you know, this is totally off topic because we've been talking about
what is on topic today. Is there anything on topic? Nothing.
I don't know. Have you seen this Chinese basketball player that's playing for the Blazers in the NBA Summer League?
I have not.
His name's Yang Hansen.
I should be watching some Yang Hansen.
I'm telling you, but
you're recommending Yang Hansen.
Watching some of the highlights of him on Instagram. He looks like he sees the basketball court like, and they were comparing him to Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, they call him Chinese Jokic. Very creative.
Yes.
I mean, all right, let's go to YouTube and take a look.
I'll tell you, a couple games he's played has been ridiculous.
Oh, by the way, this is the video that I took. I should have taken it the other way. This is a video I took of the flood and me going through it. It was beeping like crazy.
When was this?
This was when I was late to work that day.
How long ago was that?
2 years now, maybe.
Oh, so you sent this to Steven and CBS Sports, obviously.
Yeah, to prove the fact that this is what happened. Yeah, I mean, my car's going, doo, 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 doo. It's like flipping out right now. But look out, see that thing in front of me, obviously, is way off the ground compared to what my car is.
Yeah, that looks like one of those handicap vans.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's horrible. Oh, it actually had the date on there. I could see, might have been like August 13th or something. Anyway, all right, I'm watching Chinese Jokic now.
Okay.
Let me see what, everybody seems to love him. Look at this. Seems to be the real gem of the draft.
Yeah, 16th overall by the Blazers.
Well, you can go toil in Portland. You know? Maybe it'll be, I'm not going to say it. Stop myself there. I had a Portland jokes and I just.
Yeah, well.
Let me just stop myself.
We could end up being the same jokes here before too long.
Oh, man. Actually, it was going to be a lesbian reference as well, because I feel like all the lesbians end up in Portland. That's what I was told. Eventually, they just all make it out to Portland. So I was thinking. Do? Yeah, that's what, hey, me and someone else here were talking about that. It's just, you know, like all the bicycle, motorcycle guys, they end up in Sturgis.
Yes.
Eventually. You know, they make it there.
Is this a lesbian expert you were talking to?
I don't know about as a lesbian expert, right. But it was someone who knew several lesbians that were in Portland.
That moved to Portland.
Yeah. It's like I don't know. There's like some sort of lesbian magnet out to Portland.
Oh. This kid, by the way, Yang Hansen can shoot threes too, man. So if there are a number of lesbians out there that love basketball, they're going to love him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, hey, I remember when Kevin Knox was being heralded as the next great thing. And
yeah, no. This kid is 7'2", man.
Yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, I'm just talking about, like, NBA Summer League. You gotta be a little careful.
Yeah, but still, I mean, to see him playing against, you know, other kids that have, you know, hopes and dreams of getting to the NBA and all high picks, and then him playing this way against them. I mean, I understand it's the summer league, but still.
I remember when Bill Simmons was like, congratulations to the Knicks fans. You finally got drafted a superstar. And
Kevin Knox?
Kevin Knox, yeah. I remember that. Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, he's getting lots of views, getting a lot of hype. Look at that.
Yeah, we know he's a young kid, and he looks like he knows what he's doing on the basketball court. That's for sure.
Was this heralded as a good pick at the time? I don't remember.
At the time, everybody thought that he went higher.
Oh, he was a reach?
Yes, he was a reach. I don't know. You see some of these passes in these games?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's playing against other younger kids, and, you know, it's not the NBA, and he'll get pushed around and get shoved around because he looks... He kind of looks like the kid on Oklahoma City, that size body.
No, Chet Holmgren, no. He's got much thicker legs than Chet Holmgren does. His extremities, Yang Hansen's extremities, are much thicker than Chet Holmgren's.
So you're sitting there telling me that Yang Hansen, he's got a thicker lower body.
He's much girthier than Chet Holmgren is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a much bigger base.
Right.
Well, good for them.
He can run, he can shoot, he can pass.
Yeah.
And he's also a pretty good rim protector.
Oh, is he?
Yes. I heard Doris Burke say that.
By the way, I'll leave you with this before the last sports minute.
Yes.
Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
Posting this morning on X.
Oh, it's great to be a Jet for life.
He said, "Yup, Jets green has been running through me since the day they drafted me. Despite the ups and downs, the faith is mutual. That means the world to me. Excited to start a new version of the chase next week. Hashtag Jet Up."
Next week, baby. Yes. Reporting date.
Yeah, I mean, Jets Green's been running through me like poop through a goose. I'm glad that it's running through you, Garrett. That's great.